What's up, buddy?
I'm exhausted, but I'm okay. How are you? It's been a
I'm
minute.
Not bad. Yeah, it's been a little while.
You've been so busy at your new job. It's exciting to see.
I have been thoroughly enjoying the new job.
That's so good, dude. I'm so happy because I know that you've been, like, it was a huge change. Like, how long were you a welder?
7, 8 years.
I mean,
like that.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was a significant amount of time, and it was completely different from what I did before. Like, I worked in retail for Verizon Wireless, and I did call center stuff for them, too.
Right.
And then, you know, I was just like, I was ready for something new, because I just got tired of all the micromanaging.
Right, right.
And then I was like, I know, Steven makes a bunch of money as a welder, let's go be a welder. So, I didn't make that kind of money, but...
No, but you committed to it for a long time. And you were really good at it. So it's like, to see that this was not where you wanted to be and then actually make that decision to change, that's a big jump. And it's worked out amazing for you.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy. Like, I work with a great bunch of people. Mm-hmm. You know, they trust my opinion for some reason.
I sure don't. Well, end up with gold friggin' skates, and nobody would want those except for one person.
Yeah, there's like four people that are like, yeah! And I don't, maybe if we can pool some money together, maybe we can get you to get some samples made.
We'll see.
You said no about the frames too, so I don't think it's going to happen.
You're right, I did.
So, what have you got going on that's got you so tired lately?
Oh, you know. Work's been crazy. Kids have been busy. It's been a busy week. The culmination of all of these projects kind of, you know, trying to orchestrate this launch has been, it's been a lot. You know, I wasn't sleeping much this week, just didn't have the time. I was doing overtime. You know, I was on with Kenan, 2 nights ago. I was on it with Brandon Drummond. After that, I think, No, Kenan was at 9. I did Brandon at 7. And, you know, what were supposed to be like 40-minute calls ended up being, I think we went an hour and a half with Brandon. And I think it was an hour with Kenan. And then
oh, geez.
Gear Talk was Wednesday.
That was a 3-hour Gear Talk.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't think I would go 3 hours.
So I that was one of the very few that I didn't get to dive into, and I definitely regret it. Why was it so long? Were there that many questions in the chat, or was it just, were you that excited, or all
I think,
of the above?
I mean, I think I talked about, I usually do my usual Gear Talk format. You know, I'll do a little intro, and then I'll do questions to start with. You know, I ask, you know, people to ask questions if they have questions. And that usually goes for about 30 minutes. And then I get into the meat of it. You know, I talk about my current setup and then I do questions. And then I get into the meat of it around, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes in, 45 minutes in. And then I go for about 30 minutes with that. And then I wrap up and do, 30 minutes of questions at the end or however long. And it's usually an hour and a half to 2 hour show. This last one, because my current setup was the main topic, I didn't do questions beforehand and I just got right into it. So maybe 10 minutes into the show, I had already started the main segment and went for 2 hours, like just talking about all of the little details of the skate. And I didn't think that it would take that long, but there were, it's not like I got distracted by the chat. I didn't even look at the chat. I told people ahead of time, I'm like, hey, if you ask a question now, I'm never going to see it. So hold your questions until the end, because I'll probably get to them. If I don't, then ask then, but I'm not going to scroll back through. Like, there's too much conversation happening, and I have a feeling we're going to go long. So don't ask a question until the end, and then I'll stick around until all the questions are answered. And I think there were like 45 minutes of questions. So it was a long show. I mean, obviously it's not every day that there's a new skate, let alone a guy that talks about gear making a skate that's designed for people who want to know about gear, you know? It's like
exactly
the perfect market for that sort of discussion. And I was like, I'm ready for it, you know, because I've been doing short edited videos. We did the introduction video and we did, you know, the quick, like, here's everything about the Omni video, but it wasn't as geeky as I wanted it to be. You know, there was no calipers, there was no scales, there were no, like, showing multiple versions of things or explaining why. It, like, mm-hmm. all of those videos were general consumption, like, this is what they do, but I didn't get into why this decision was made. So I'm really glad that I have that forum of Gear Talk that I can get into that stuff, because that's the sort of stuff, I mean, that's why I do what I do. Like, I love the geeky stuff.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to be able to get through 3 hours of it.
Yeah, I was really surprised because, like, when I ended up going to bed that night, I saw that it was a 3-hour stream. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I was very anxious to hear what made it that long. I'll still watch it. I'll go back and I'll watch it.
I think, and I would be more than happy to talk about it in tonight's show, but I don't know that we need to rehash it as much. I feel like there's a lot of overlap, but I might actually just throw the Gear Talk on the podcast feed. I did that in the past. I kept forgetting to do it, but I might do it this time just because it is a 3-hour show and I don't expect people to sit around. I mean, you can listen on the YouTube. I guess YouTube is asking us to post all of our stuff to YouTube anyway. So it's like Okay. Everybody's listening on the YouTube anyway. There are visual aids that I think help tell the story for this Gear Talk especially. And that's why I'm not super, you know, excited about dropping that as an audio only format on the stream.
Makes sense.
But, you know, I'm happy to chat about some things that you didn't know for sure.
Can you drop a future log at the beginning of it and just say, hey, just so you know, this is significantly better if you watch it on YouTube.
I could. Yeah, I could. And I always link to it. I let's see what people say.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what people say. I think that we've come to a point now where YouTube is kind of ubiquitous for audio as well as video. So
yeah.
I don't think people ever have a problem with just pushing play on YouTube and starting their drive, or pushing play on YouTube and just, you know, putting it in your pocket, turning off the screen, and it works for you, you know?
Yeah. There's a couple channels that I found that I can do that with, mm-hmm. where the visual isn't required.
Yeah.
But there's others where it's just visuals and they have subtitles and it's about really interesting topics. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and just watch this because I'm trying to do the fucking dishes. So
yeah, I have the same thing. Yeah, exactly the same. Like I've listened to a lot of there's a really good show with Mike Birbiglia that mm-hmm. he's like working on jokes with comedians. And they get to talking about, you know, comedy. And I never tried to do comedy myself, but I can appreciate the art form of it. And I've always been really fascinated by what goes into jokes and how comedians create their acts. And, like, what... Like, they're really smart. And you wouldn't... Like, the normal person wouldn't think to even consider that, but they're really smart. Like, comedians are some of the smartest people out there. And the thought that they go through, the process that they go through, I'm thrilled to just listen to that sort of thing. That is a 50-minute show sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for me to watch because it's just the two of them having a good time. Sometimes they show notes and stuff, but really it's just them talking. And there's no reason why that needs to be a visual format.
Yeah. No, I agree. Mike Birbiglia is a really funny comedian. Like, I feel like a lot of his shows are more one-man shows as opposed to comedy shows, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
Like his story about when he was sleepwalking and he had the jackal mm-hmm. dreams, that fucking cracked me up.
He's so good.
But yeah, is that called About Last Night or About Last Week or something like that? Do you remember?
I think it's called Working It Out.
Okay. All right, yeah, there was another comedian that does that one about last night.
Yes, I've seen that on my feed. I haven't listened to it, but I've seen it on my feed. I think it's such a crazy time that we're living in where we have access to, because of the technology making it so easy for people to display. I mean, look at politicians. Like, you would never see a politician in real life until, like, either they were voting at something on C-SPAN, yeah, or they were having some sort of a town hall, right? And now it's like they're on Instagram or they're on, you know, TikTok or Threads, and you see them talking in like normal day, and then they posting videos and stuff. It's like you have so much access to these like celebrities, for lack of a better word. And it's really changed things. Like, you know, they're not this untouchable person. They're, you know, celebrities are just like us.
Yeah, they're still people.
Yeah. Anyway, I do recommend that you watch. There's a lot of things, especially you would get into it. Soul Plate section, especially. If you, and I should add chapter markers for the parts of the skate that I talk about. I think the Soul Plate, especially, you would be really interested in, because there were, I don't know that there's ever been a Soul Plate with this much, like,
R&D behind it.
yeah. Like, we made a lot of decisions to make this Soul Plate the way that it is. And I see a lot of people, less people now, but a lot of people right at the launch saying, this looks like a cross between a Them Skate and a Sway. What's the big deal? And it's like, well, here's all the reasons why it's a big deal. Like, here's all the reasons why this Soul Plate looks the way that it does, works the way that it does everything that it does. And, I mean, there's more thought that went into the Soul Plate than most products have thought put into them, I would say. I mean, again, I don't know for sure, but the Soul Plate specifically, I think you would really, really appreciate that segment.
Oh, I'm sure that I will. I'll be listening to that tonight. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do when we're done. So.
Oh, there you go.
So it'll be perfect. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Like, the more that I think about it, like, so at first when you said you wanted to make a skate, I was like, I'm going to get it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it does. Course.
But that's just you being supportive. I mean, it could look like ass, and you knew that it wouldn't, but it's like.
Of course. Yeah. So then once you had the samples for people to try on at Grantsgiving, I was like, yep. These are going to be dope.
Yeah.
So, and then now that we can finally see them in all their glory, I'm very excited for them. I can't wait.
So how much, I'm really curious, because I've been living with this since, I mean, we knew what it was going to look like since a year ago today.
Okay.
Give or take. You know, Grindsgiving had the 3D samples, so we already knew what a Soul Plate was going to look like. We already knew, like, a lot about the skate. Obviously, it wasn't in its form as it is now. I got the final samples, and honestly, we have new samples coming this week or next week.
Okay.
But I got like the final samples that we were shooting. Like, the first time I saw the white boots was maybe a month ago. So that's the first time that I actually like saw the fully formed skate. When did you like learn about it? Did I do a good job of keeping you in the dark? I don't know that you even saw a picture.
So it took a long time for you to send me a picture of them. And then when you did, it was when they were wrapped up in all that, all the checkerboard tape.
Mm-hmm.
But you had shown me some samples you got of previous boots that you had inquired about to manufacturers, like some of those weird looking carbon style boots.
Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't feel like something Law would do. Like, like carbon's nice and all that, but like, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, and then as everything started progressing, you kind of stopped talking about it. And I was like, all right, I mean, it'll happen eventually, like one of these days.
Right.
And then it started coming up more and more and more. And I was like, yeah, it's going to happen. Just a matter of time until he finds the right, poorhouse with the right mold.
Yeah, exactly. Did you first see the white ones this week?
No.
Did I show them to you before?
I think you did show them to... Yeah, I think you sent me like a sneak peek of them.
I might have shown them to you before.
Yeah.
I think we did a really good job of keeping this close hold. I don't think a lot of people saw them. I think the name we kept really close hold.
Yeah, you did.
Like nobody knew... Because names are hard, and I didn't want somebody to steal it. But we had the name... probably at Grindsgiving that we were going to call the company Standard, then call the skate the Omni. The whole process has been, I mean, it's taken longer than I expected, but it's been pretty incredible to, like, learn so much.
Yeah. I imagine it's probably pretty stressful during the process, but then now when you look back, you can say, oh, that was kind of cool. Like, yeah. I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, like, I'll give you an example. The sizing has been tough. You know, we had the mishap with the first molds that actually ended up in our favor, where we were doing 3D prints, and the 3D print that you actually tested at Grindsgiving, that actual 3D print was wrong, completely wrong.
Oh, like, really?
The scale somehow got converted wrong when they sent, because they work in Rhino, which is a 3D software program. I could work in Fusion 360. So they sent me those converted to something that Fusion 360 could open. And for whatever reason, like the X or whatever was off, like the multiplier was off. So it was that sample that you tested that fit perfectly ended up being like a centimeter longer than that sample was.
Okay.
All the other dimensions stayed the same. So the width stayed the same. All of the tweaks that we made to the toe box, all of the adjustments we made to the lacing area and the heel, those were the same because they were width. But the length, for whatever reason, got screwed up. And it was screwed up by a centimeter. And that was probably the worst night of my life. When I got the samples, and those were the samples that we brought to... We brought those samples to Blading Cup. Those were the actual samples that we brought out, and that was, what, March or April or whenever.
Yeah.
And I remember giving them to Brandon Drummond, and he said, can I try them on? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you could try them on, but they're a 42. They probably won't fit. And he's a 44. He's like me.
Okay.
And he's like, huh, they fit pretty good. They're a little tight, but, you know, the length feels good. And I was like, how could the length possibly feel good? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I chalked it up to Brandon not knowing his foot length, which was just, you know, stupid of me. But yeah. I just assumed, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. So when we got back, I sent him to the team that is a size 42. And I said, okay, here's the skates. Break them in. See what you think. And they went out there and skated them. And they were way too big. And I got this crazy text, like, the night that they were going to test them. And, like, yo, we've got a problem. Like, this is not the right boot. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not the right boot. Like, we signed off on all of the things. Like, this is an actual mold. We waited 60 days for this to be created. It's not the right boot. He's like, yeah, it's not the right boot. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, the liner works perfectly, but the boot is too big.
Oh,
I'm like, how is it possibly too big? So... thankfully, they had the last version of 3D prints that I sent as the final sign-off. And they held them up to the boot. And they were like, look, it's like a centimeter longer than it should be. And I was like, fuck. Like, so that night, everything was going through my head, right? So I'm like, what do I do? You know, because this is our first shell. It is the shell that, you know, our team was supposed to be out there testing. And it doesn't fit them. Like, how much does it not fit them? Like, these are all, like, because, you know, there's a lot of subjectiveness in it. And, you know, I don't trust anybody when they say what their foot length is. Like, until you show me a ruler, like, I don't trust you. Because, you know, people don't measure their feet the same way. Like, it's a really hard problem to solve. How do you figure out how long somebody's foot is, you know? Like, and if they put them in, you know, a boot, it's like... how do they know? Like, is their foot super short in the boot? And, oh, it feels fine. Like, somebody's feels fine is different than another's feels fine, right? So I get this crazy text, and I'm freaking out. So I get the boots back. I email the factory. I'm like, hey, this is wrong. What's up? I get the boots back, and the factory's like, look, this is, you know, this is what they should be. Like, we sent you a final 3D printed sample of a sign-off. And I was like, I just looked at that. I didn't even send it to this, you know, the team writer to try it on, because I just assumed, oh, it looked great. And I didn't have the other 3D printed sample. They had all of them. So I was like, oh, it looks great. And I never confirmed. So I was like, fuck, all right, I screwed this up royally. Like, and molds aren't cheap.
No.
You know? I mean, we're talking like a car. know, that's how expensive they are. So I get the skates back, and I'm like, all right, let's figure out what the hell happened. So I look at it and I compare it to the final 3D print that they sent, and it is spot on. Like, it's exactly the way that they wanted it. They said it would be. And I'm like, okay, so is this salvageable? Like, is there any way that I can make this work? So I put in my intuitions, the FR intuitions, and I put my foot in, and it felt like crap, like just horrible. And I was like, oh man, this is not going to be good. But then I put in the RL1, and the RL1 is my thinnest liner. So the intuitions that I have, the FR intuitions, are actually pretty thick.
Yeah.
They're like 5 millimeters thick, and then they have that big heel, whatever it's called, the ankle power strap thingy, you know, the X that goes in the back. They have like, that.
I think they call them J straps.
Is it called a J strap? What? Where's the J come from?
Let me rephrase that. Jug used to call it that because it would wrap around your ankle bone. Look like a J.
Okay, that makes sense. This is more like an X in the back.
Okay.
And it's not removable. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It's not removable.
Power strap is that, or power?
Yeah, power.
I feel like
block or brace or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it.
It is thick. You know, it's another 3 millimeters.
Yeah.
So my foot then has, you know, say an extra 10 millimeters plus an extra 3 millimeters to it, and I put it in, and it's just like, this feels horrible. But I tried my RL1, which is like 3 millimeters the entire way around. Like, the RL1 doesn't have much going for it. It's just a really thin, dense foam. It's like 3 millimeters thick, maybe. And it fit. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this actually fits. And I was like, this fits well. So, what... Like, I could actually move my foot around a little bit in it. Like, it wasn't too... Because the liner was so thin. It wasn't at all tight. Like, it was loose. And I was like, okay. Like, we can make this work. Like, let's figure out the length of this thing. And let's figure out what the liner thickness needs to be. And then we'll use that liner thickness as our true, like, north. Like, if our liners are, in this case, you know, we ended up with the liners being about 10 millimeters. Because each wall is, like, 5 millimeters at your heel. Okay. So we say, okay, whatever the shell ends up being, which in this case, the shell was 295 millimeters. It should have been 282, 283, which was the one that we were, you know, testing, but it was actually 295. So if we have this liner that's 10 millimeters, then, you know, 5 millimeters in the front, 5 millimeters in the back, my foot fits in there. My foot's 285. It fits perfectly. And that's where we ended up. So our, what was to be like a 42 liner or 42 shell ended up being our 44 shell. That was the worst night of my life. Like, realizing that we've spent, you know, double digits of, you know, money that we're never going to be able to get back. And if this mold is not salvageable, like, what do I do? Like, what is my next step? And this was right after Blading Cup. So maybe a week after Blading Cup, after getting all of this crazy, like, great response. And then I'm like, well, fuck, I'm behind. Like, now I don't even have samples that people can skate. So after that minute, like, we changed quickly. Like, we still do 3D printing for sole plate design for whatever reason. Like, I mean, the sole plates that I can design, I can make it so that it fits on the shell. It's just when it gets exported from that one program that it comes out a little funky. So they've been sending us for the other shells, the 40, the 42, and the 46. They've been sending us 3D printed samples. So those are the samples that we're testing with. And we're putting our feet into those actual samples. And then we're providing feedback. Because then, if those samples are screwed up, it's on them.
It's on them. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So the issue was essentially translation from their Rhino software to your software.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Or I will say somewhere in the... Because 3D printing requires a bunch of steps. Somewhere in the them writing the file and then sending the file to me, me converting the file again to 3D printer compatible, and then me actually printing. While I took that print off of the deck, it was wrong. So it could be my printer was wrong. It could be the conversion from the file to the printer G-code. It could be converting the file from Rhino to something that my printer, or that my slicer can handle. It could be the like, there's so many steps, and that's, I think, where things just got screwed up. You know, if I were able to deal directly with Rhino, I would probably not have this problem.
Okay. Is Rhino like a proprietary program, or is it just not something you're familiar with?
It's so fucking hard. Yeah, okay. Rhino is a really difficult program. I looked at it. That's what, you know, PowerSlide uses. That's what all the big, like, shoe company, anything when you're making. So if you think of Fusion 360, there's two base ways that you do design in Fusion 360. I mean, there's a bunch, but one is extrusions. So what they'll do is you create a, like if you wanted to make a frame, you would start by making a rectangle object, just a 2D rectangle object. So you draw the rectangle on a 2D sketch, right? Okay. And then you go into a modeling like mode and you click on an extrusion object or extrusion action. You click on the whatever the shape that you've done on your sketch. And you say, all right, extrude this 40 millimeters. And that square or rectangle that you've created now is a cube because it extends up by 10 millimeters, 40 millimeters, whatever. So using that basic foundation, making squares, making cylinders, and then either you extrude or you cut. So you could create another one and you say, okay, instead of extruding, I'm going to go down 40 millimeters and I'm going to cut through this rectangle that I've created, this cube that I've created. I'm going to cut this rectangle. So you can create these objects by just, I mean, it's like whittling. You start with a big block of wood and you start drilling through it with a drill press, or you start, you know, shaving it with something. The way that Rhino works is it's kind of similar to paper mache with newspapers on a balloon. God. So you start with these surfaces. So you've got these like pieces of paper in a virtual space, and you're creating this like this. It's so hard to explain, like a wave, like a path, but it's a three-dimensional path.
So you're designing in additive manufacturing as opposed to subtractive manufacturing.
That's probably a good way of looking at it. I don't fully understand that, but it was really difficult, and I couldn't get my head around it. I took a real quick like tutorial course, and I'm like, I know enough to open the files and understand how to like look at them, but I don't know how to make any modifications. The dream was they were going to send me these initial files, and I was going to make the adjustments. So I was hoping that I could take this shell, do a print, give it to somebody, try it on, and say, oh, we need 2 millimeters more length. And I could just go in there and I say, 2 millimeters more length. I got it. And then poof. And there was absolutely no way I was going to be able to do that.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It was a lot longer than it should have been. After the 44 debacle, though, it took longer, but we didn't mess around, and we got each of the three shells left. There's four total shells. We got each of the three shells left, and we had them send 3D prints, and we basically just started from scratch. And we're like, okay, send us what you think the length of a 40 shell should be, a 42 and a 46, and we'll just try our liners, and we'll say what needs to be tweaked. How much wider does it need to be? Where do we get pressure points? Basically, what we were doing at the compound, mm-hmm. but we had to do it over again for each of the shells.
But now you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, now we know. And you know, our goal was summer. When we launched, it was summer, and it was based on that initial 42 being the 42, but it was the 44, which not only meant that all of the measurements that we had done for the other sizes were wrong, but it meant that we had to start over because none of the tweaks that we made even mattered. And we had to wait for them to send prints so that we could test versus us just doing it locally. Because locally, I can have a print done in, you know, a day and a half.
Yeah.
But with them, it takes them a day and a half to do the print. Then they have to send it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a 2-week process for us to get a thing and then give them feedback. And then, you know, we got to wait for them to make changes to the model because it's not like they're waiting on us, you know. Like at our beck and call, right? I mean, there's kind of a lot of other shop or companies that they're working with for other projects. So
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, but in saying all of that, you know, I think I got there by you asking me about the sigh of relief and the all of the trauma that I went through to just get to this point. I skated the skates today. I did my first impressions video at Durham. In the skates that I developed, and that was an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how good did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like almost like an emotional experience where I'm like, I've been to this skate park 100 times.
Yeah,
and I've but tested
always in someone else's shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's a really good way of putting it. I've tested 30 or so skates, and every time I do the same things. And every time I think it would be better if, and don't get me wrong, the Omni isn't perfect. Like I'm always looking at ways to improve, but it's like, this is all on me. Like everything that I wanted in the skate is in the skate. And that's like, I'm done. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I don't have to review any other skates. You know, because I've done all that. I know what I need in a skate, and I've got it. And that first session, I'm like, I can do this. Like I've been skating the skates for a while. Like this isn't the first time I've been to Durham. I skated Durham like a few weeks ago, but it was different sitting in front of the camera, dangling the skates in front of the lens, saying, you know, I got new skates, and them being my skates.
Yeah,
like that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So I'm tired, Ben. I'm tired. We also did pre-orders today. So our shops and us, so we're not in production yet. They're finalizing the last 3 sizes of molds. They're done, but they need to, they just got the molds back, but they need to go in and they need to make a few changes before they can get a sample. So they're hopefully getting us samples next week. Getting the molds was the sign off for me because that means I need to pay for the molds and I need to pay for production. And like, so with molds, you do 50% down and then 50% when they're done. So okay. They're done. So I can afford that. But the production, getting production started, that's where I needed to start doing direct, you know, sales to get pre-orders so that I could get some money so that I could get them done. I don't plan on doing this every time. Like, I love the idea that in the future I'd be able to, maybe next order, maybe the following order, I'd be able to do the thing that I do with Fitty Fitty where, you know, I've got all of the frames in the warehouse and then I do, hey, we're shipping Monday, orders are Saturday. Like, that's my goal. But of course, it takes a while to get there. Like, I had to do that with 5050. I have to do that with Compass. I've had to do that with a lot of different projects because, you know, I'm not a big company. Like, I don't have all this capital sitting around that I can deal with. So we did pre-orders today, not just from Balance Distribution, but all around the world. And the response has been amazing. You know, it's been better than I had expected, not just from supporters, but from shops. You know, they're, because I don't have any point of reference. You know, being a frame company is one thing. Frames are amazing. Like, I love the frame market, but no shop is paying their bills with frame sales.
No.
You know, like, we're an afterthought.
Maybe with enough, but
yeah, but it's
sell a shitload of frames every month.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think anybody's doing that. Like, it's such a niche market, the aftermarket frame, UFS frame market, you know?
Yeah.
But skates are a completely different story. Like, they're expensive, you know? I mean, ours are relatively, like, normal priced, I guess, in the middle. But it's a $300 product.
Yep.
That's, you know, shops selling $300, you know, a $300 item. You sell one of those a day, that's, you know, enough for rent, enough for salaries. Like, that's, you know, that's
true.
That's where the money comes from, for the shops to stay in business. And everything else is accessories that, like, add up. You know, it's the little things to keep the light on, but it's not the main course. True. So being in that conversation is different. And having that conversation with shops, like, I have different relationships with these shops now, where they're now going to, like, see me as this supplier that actually, like, I hate to say matters, but it's like, you know, the wheels that I sell definitely keep the gears moving, but I'm not the one that's, like, buying the new cars. You know, it's like, this is now a real distribution company. This is now something that, you know, I need to plan these out ahead of time. I need to get into seasonal releases. I need to have my press kit available for shops so that they can do all of these pre-orders ahead of time. Like, there's a lot that they need to do to get ready for that, because they need to budget their, like, this impacts their budget for, you know, what they're going to do for the next quarter. And it's great. Like, it's a really great position to be in, because I've always wanted to do something for shops. I've never been able to, you know, like, my stuff barely moves the needle. It's not like a new skate drop. And now I have a new skate job. So I've had shops tell me, like, this is great. Like, the excitement about this skate is incredible. Like, we're getting, you know, dozens of orders from people. And this is from shops, dozens of orders from people on the first day, in the first few hours.
That's awesome.
And it's like, Jesus, man, like, so good. Like, it just feels so good. Because I just know how much that means to them, because, you know, shops, it's a hard business.
Absolutely.
And the last year has been really rough, because, you know, I think a lot of them bought high for COVID, so they don't have a lot of money in their bank accounts, like their savings or whatever. So being able to bring out something that's new, that's in demand, that you know, to toot my own horn, that is for us, by us, you know, like, Clark, love John. There's only a few of us out there who have done something this crazy, you know, doing a skate by a skater. Like, it's a big deal.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. I mean, obviously super tired, but I don't think I prepared myself mentally for this, you know, for the change that it is with me. Because, you know, frames are just fun. Like, it's always been, like, a fun thing that I do. Like, oh, I'm the guy that makes rollerblading stuff, and I've got a warehouse with a mini ramp, and, you know, it's fun. But now it's like, I can actually, like, and financially for us, I can actually afford to hire somebody. Like, my friend awesome. Dylan comes by and does, you know, work once a week, twice a week, like 4 or 5 hours of work. But now it's like, I can have him over more because I have money to pay him and I have work for him to do. And that's a change. Like, I'm an actual employer, not somebody who just needs help, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So when are you going to have to start doing, are you paying him as a 1099, or are you giving him a W-2, or?
Well, so I've been 1099 because I don't have like hours for him. You know, some weeks we go and he doesn't work at all because there's just nothing to do.
Yeah.
I've been really fortunate, you know, with my job, I've been really fortunate to have a lot of downtime, where I'm on a conference call or I'm in a company meeting or, you know, I'm waiting for, like, something to build, you know, some image to, get uploaded to a server or something like that. And that's when I, you know, I always surround myself with work to do. I'll surround myself with wheels, and I pack up wheels while I'm waiting for something to do, or I'll set up, you know, ready to roll frames when I'm on a conference call, because it's, you know, it's mind-numbing work.
Yeah. You know,
putting bearings in packaging and putting a sticker on the bearings is like you're just going through the motions. You know, I can't use my fingers for a keyboard, but I can talk and I can listen, and like I can always just stop and take down a few notes. Like it's really easy to do that sort of thing while I'm in a meeting. That is usually enough to get us by. You know, when we have a delivery, then, you know, he comes by and he helps pack orders and he, you know, puts together ready to roll frames and things like that. And whenever he's got hours, I'm like, yeah, come on by, like do inventory and, you know, make sure that the shelves are stocked and all that stuff. But now it's like, we're going to need to do customer service. We're going to need to do, you know, custom orders. We're going to need to, like, putting together orders for shops is going to be more complicated. Like, there's more items. Each skate has, you know, three different variations, whether it's complete, boot only, or, you know, shell only. And then it comes in four different sizes and two different colors. That's a lot of inventory to have on hand.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. So trying to figure out how that's all going to work and making sure that customers get what they need, shops get what they need, like all of that. It's a big job now. And I'm hoping, you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm hoping to do this every quarter where we can have, you know, 2-3 releases a year. So, you know, once every, you know, 4 to 6 months. Really depends on how quickly things sell through. Like, we'll always have, you know, our constants black in stock, but I want to do signature skates. I want to do collabs. I want to do fun stuff that I feel like we could do well, you know?
I agree. I think that could go really well. Yeah. I think it's time to speculate on who your first collab is going to be with.
Red Bull. It's Red Bull. I'll just jump to it.
They're going to have wings on the cuffs. That'd be awesome. Call them the Ryan Jacqueline Red Bulls.
None of this is set in stone. I mean, we don't even know. We don't know any. I know what the next release is going to be. Like, the first release is the white and black, and I know the next release we're going to have a black skate as well, and then we're going to have our first signature skate. And after that, we don't have any plans yet. I know that I'm going to bring in a black skate with every order, but makes I don't sense. Have any. I don't
have always any. Sell.
Yeah, exactly. I was shocked that the white was popular. I haven't done my numbers yet, but the hype around the white. It's funny, though. It's like we talked about with the camo bags, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's like, oh, shit, the camouflage bag is amazing. Like, I got to get one of those. And then, you know, you sell 90% black. Because yeah. The people who are like, oh, shit, this is crazy, don't have the money for the bags that they want to buy, right?
I'll tell you now, like, I think about the successor to the 50-50 bag more than I care to admit. I cannot wait for it to happen. You've told me nothing about a timeline or anything like that.
Soon.
But just know that I'm very excited for it, and I will 100% buy one. And you gave me a sneak peek in one of the colorways, and that's the one I want to get.
Yes, it's a great colorway. It's been hanging up in my office for, what, a month? When I sent it to you, a month and a half ago or so?
About that, yeah.
I am just waiting. They should be done soon, though. I mean, the production's supposed to be done end of September, so I should probably email them and see what's going on. It's just, again, another thing that I have to worry about. We got a wheel shipment delivery coming next week. More wheels coming in. I mean, there's a release for every brand still in October.
Jesus.
And I guess, you know, technically, Standard doesn't have another launch because this was our launch. But, yeah, there's no other no other anything happening. There's a couple little products, but October has one for every other brand.
That's awesome. So I have questions which you may or may not have already addressed.
I would love to hear, I mean, and since you haven't seen Gear Talk and you know a lot, but you don't know everything, I'd love to hear if there's any questions that you might have, and then I can talk about those. Because I've talked till I'm blue in the face with everybody under the sun. But I want to make sure that you get the answers that you have, the questions answered that you have.
All right, good, good. Are you ready?
I'm always ready. I'm always ready.
All right, so the standard frame.
Yep.
That has like four different frames that I see in it. So I see with like the character line on the top, where you have the logo, that very much reminds me of the them frames, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I understand why it's there. You know, saves weight, saves on what you're grinding on. But then the groove reminds me of the old Kaiser Classic frames that came on, like, the Realms and stuff like that. So is that an Opal Mold frame, or is that your frame?
No, it's our frame. You design it's our frame.
Okay.
So the line, that's interesting. I never saw the them connection, not to say that it's not there. It is kind of similar to the Kaiser Fluid Force. Where it's just got the straight line across.
Yeah, just as you started saying that, I was going to say that too, yeah.
We actually designed it initially to have a circle above the groove. So there was, the flat line was going to follow the frame itself. So at the groove, it was going to go up and around. And then the TNEC frame came out, the New Everything Company. And they did the same thing. So they had the curve above it, and I was like, "Well, I guess we're not doing that anymore." So that we just made a straight line, and then we put the oval logo above it. The HVAC is really interesting. So it is an amalgamation of a lot of frames. It heavily relies on what I've done with the Balance 2, but it also is the initial groove of the original non-UFS Fitty Fitty frames.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so
I can see that.
And I didn't do this during, but during the development, but now that people have mentioned it, it kind of looks like the Sola frame as well. So they have a very similar design where it's a bit of a tighter H-block and a deeper chamfer. The goal with that was, we wanted to make a frame that anybody could skate. So I've seen plenty of OEM frames that are very purpose-built. You know, if you look at, you know, there's been a long line of frames with Featherlite 3s or with Fluid 4s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are designed for anti-rocker. But somebody buying a skate and using a complete setup doesn't necessarily know that they want to skate anti-rocker. In fact, it sucks. Like, skating flat, if you don't know what you're doing, is definitely a more enjoyable experience.
I would definitely agree with that.
But how do they know that this frame isn't good for flat? You know, like...
Yeah,
and,
true.
And I hate to throw shade, but when they put the Shimas out with flat 60s on a Featherlite 3.
Yeah, that was silly.
What message is that sending, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that the frame was good for people who buy OEM frames. You know, you would never skate a stock frame. Like, very, very rarely would you, because you already have frames that you like.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think people who buy boot only already know what they like. People who buy completes don't. And then we looked at the persona of who this person is. And it's like, this person might not know the difference between flat and anti-rocker. They might not know... They might not have old anti-rocker wheels with them, right? Like in a box that they've been passing down from generation to generation, like most anti-rocker wheels are. they don't know that wheels suck on skates and they're going to break after the first couple of sessions.
Yeah.
And they don't know what good bearings are like. So those were like the big things we tried to address with our OEM frame. So we made sure that the frame was good for anything. So it has a deep chamfer, but it's got a tight H-block. That makes it really fun for doing any grinds that you want while skating flat, but it also works for skating and air rocker. And I skated them flat today. It is not easy to skate them flat. I'm not saying that it's the easiest skate. If you are in any rocker skate, it can be done. Yeah, sure. I mean, I was doing back farves on ledges today. It's not impossible. If you are a brand new skater, it's a really good frame for learning. If you are a anti-rocker skater and you try transitioning over to this frame, it's going to feel like any other flat frame. You're going to get wheel bite because you're not used to locking in the groove. And that's not a judgment. It's just a different level of focus when you're doing grinds. You know, I've been skating flat for, 5 months now? And yeah, when I do Royales, I have to know exactly where I'm going to lock every time. I give it a little bit more speed because if I screw up a little bit, I could force myself down and I know that the wheels will slide a little bit and then I can squish down. If you're skating any rocker, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, yeah.
This frame, if you're skating any rocker, you're going to have to worry about it. Like, you're going to have to adjust to skating flat. It's not as easy as a wish frame. You know, a wish frame is a flat frame, but it works great for people who traditionally skate anti-rocker.
Yeah, I remember I described them to someone as being able to do lazy back rails and coping and not die.
Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like
this ones, not the new ones.
I think the new ones are okay. The original ones, definitely. I was more of a fan of the original ones as well. I do think that you can do all of those tricks with this frame, but It's not going to be as easy as a wish frame. Then again, you're not going to skate a wish frame anti-rocker. So we do provide anti-rocker wheels with every frame. We have a brand new mold that, strictly from cost-cutting measure, makes the anti-rocker wheels almost free. So that means I'm able to send frames out that have an anti-rocker wheel in them, so everybody can go out there and skate. If you want to upgrade to skating flat, you can. But everybody out there can skate anti-rocker because they're going to be anti-rocker wheels with every frame in the box.
That's awesome. I'm excited about it. Like, there's, I knew you were going to do it right. So,
I've seen that a lot, that I did it right, and really, that warms my heart because that was what the goal was of this whole project. We wanted to do a skate right. You know?
Yeah. And for everything that I'm seeing, everything looks right. So for people like me who know what frames and liners that they like, I love that you have the option for just the shell. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I never thought that I'd see an OEM do, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, Razors isn't going to offer that.
No.
Because they want to sell rain liners.
Right.
You know? And, you know, they've got their own line of frames and everything like that, but, like, I've already got all your frames.
Right.
I don't need more.
Right.
That's not true. What do I need?
You've got enough of my frames.
Yeah, you're right. I still have my Compass frames. I'm going to try those on my standards when I get them. I'm excited about that.
There you go.
And someone was just like, oh, the ultimate test would be trying with PR72s. I was like, I have 76s. I'll try them.
I think they'll work really well. Those on there. The only problem is the sole plate is an aggressive sole plate. It's not a big wheel sole plate.
For sure. It would be a proof of concept.
Yeah.
That it could work. So my intention is now that these are actually here, mm-hmm. and I'm getting a pair.
Yep.
My plan is to use my UFRs for big wheels and then my Omnis for grinding.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because you say that they're grinding machines and I appreciate that.
Yes. They,
I love that. That was a great descriptor.
They're, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. So referring to the website, we worked really hard on the website. The text, that was a weekend trip for me to the cabin, and I did nothing but write the entire time. And it was just putting all of the words that I've talked in Gear Talk and thought in my head, all of the videos, and it's like, how do I express each of these little parts as a what it does and why? And it took a lot of work. You know, it doesn't look like much, like it's a single page web page, but it took a lot of work to get all of those words out. The grinding machines, I've used that a few times, and that for me is a reference to when you're out there and it just feels like you can lock everything. And you can look at the soul plate and it just oozes grind. Like the groove is perfect, the fresh soul plate with the angle to it, the wide soul plate with an angle to it, like a juice style angle. And then you look at the frame and it's got this like really like inviting groove. It's hard to not want to just grind all the things looking at it, you know what I mean? So that's definitely
I understand that for sure.
Yeah.
It looks great. Like I like, so there's a lot of stuff that I like just looking at it. The backslide is especially exciting for me because I really, really like the carbon backslide, but I don't like skating carbon boots.
Yeah.
Which is weird considering how much I'm lusting after a pair of Factions. but I really like the shape of the backslide.
Yep.
I like the idea. I can't see the angle for the juiciness of the soul plate, but I love the idea of it because I understand why it's there. And with the kind of stuff that I skate, I think it's going to be a really big benefit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I want to see in the future, and I don't know if this is already in your pad of magic of new ideas, but I'd like to see an option for hardware for people to drill out the riveted cuff bolts and then replace, like if someone bought two pair, they bought a black pair and a white pair and they wanted to switch the cuffs around, I think it'd be great to have an option where they could buy cuff bolts from you so then they could do that on their own and then you don't have to do it. But then you run into the worry like, are they going to fuck up their cuffs? Are they going to do something where they, you know, the cuff bolt blows out and then they're going to break their ankle?
Right.
Like, what's the liability of that?
Yeah. The cuff bolt thing was actually a decision we made really early on that we were going to
for cost, right?
It's for a few things. The cost is negligible, you know. A rivet is going to be, you know, 4 cents or something like that, and the cuff bolt is going to be like 30 cents. So again, it's not really a money thing. I pulled up at the warehouse after one of the events and got out of my car and opened the door and looked down, and there was a cuff bolt on the ground. And you realize that if there's a cuff bolt on the ground, that means that somebody's session was stopped out of their control because something got loose and it fell out and you can't skate anymore. And they couldn't find the cuff bolt. And that is never going to happen with Omni because we're going to rivet the cuffs. Like, I don't like the idea that a cuff bolt could ever get loose. If there were a way to make a replaceable cuff bolt that wouldn't get loose, I would be all in. And there are some that are easier to fall out than others. But end of the day, like, you start getting this slop feel when the cuff bolt starts loosening. It starts contributing to the sound. Like, one of the goals of the skate was that we wanted it to be silent. And you can't get that with a screw-on cuff bolt. It only when it's super tight is it going to be silent. Same goes with buckles. So we're riveting the buckles as well. And the reason for that is buckles are loud. You know, when you're skating, you hear the especially on like harder pavement. if it's not a locking buckle and riveted, you're going to hear something. It's going to move around. And I just didn't want that. Now, are these decisions going to bite us in the ass? Maybe. Like, people might complain and they might drill out their buckles, or they might break their buckles, and then, like, now what? And I totally get that. But I had to try, you know? Like, our goal was we wanted a silent skate that wasn't going to fall apart. And we accomplished that. Everything else is secondary. And if you want to replace your cuffs, I bet there's a way to remove the rivets. But I don't want people putting different cuffs on their skates. Like, you know, like,
fair.
I want them to have, because I don't like that look. Like, I want them to have a clean upper. We give people the painted base, and that is your area to do whatever you want. You didn't see the video, but I demonstrated with that painted base, because the way the sole plate works, you could take off the sole plate and then you can do whatever you want to that base. So it is painted from the factory. You could put whatever paint color you want on there. You could wrap tape. So I took the checkerboard tape that I used for hiding the prototypes. Mm-hmm. And I wrapped tape on the base. So the base had the checkerboard pattern, and then you put the sole plate on, and all you see is the 7mm stripe all the way around the skate, but it's a checkerboard.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I love that. Like, that's your area to experiment, you know? When you have the entire canvas, it's hard to consistently make something look good. But it's going to be really hard. I'm sure there are people out there who are going to screw it up, but it's going to be really hard to screw this up. Like, your skates are still going to look good, even if you paint these crazy colors. If you try to do, like, what's it called? The what's the dip called that they do?
Plastidip.
Yeah. If they do that, for the base, if they, you know, use some crazy washi tape that has, like, patterns and dolphins on it or something like that. Like, you could do whatever you wanted under there, but it's still going to be this thin, consistent line. And then you'll have our sole plate, which is just a really nice, clean sole plate, right below a really nice, clean boot. And then there's this subtle line of, like, you being whoever you want to be. That was our thought. And again, I don't know what it's going to end up like. We might eat our words, and people might be complaining because of, you know, problems with buckles or whatever. But I feel like we're in a pretty good place. Like, I haven't seen a lot of complaints about that. They haven't gotten the skates yet, but I haven't seen a lot of complaints about it yet.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, the good thing with that is it's not terribly difficult to drill out rivets.
Right.
Like, I've done it on cuff bolt. I've done it on buckles. I've done it on frames. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not impossible to do. So the issue is, you know, if you get a person that, you know, has an interest, buys them, enjoys them, mm-hmm. and then, like you were mentioning, breaks the buckle, and they're like, all right, well, now what? But they haven't been around long enough to know that there's easy ways to do that, or they're not handy. They're, mm-hmm. you know, a receptionist or whatever, and they don't do stuff with tools. So maybe in the future there would be, like, a YouTube playlist that, mm-hmm. that we could, you know, cultivate, and then find a way where we can show people, like, this is the process that you can use.
Yeah.
You know, how you can get them off or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds there. It depends also where this customer is. You know, if they're in the U.S., maybe I just send them a new base or a new, you know, boot, and then they send back the old one. If they're near a skate shop, maybe they go in and they get the skate shop to help them out. Like, I don't know. And these are all things that we haven't experienced yet, but I'm hoping that people tell us when they want something changed, you know, like, instead of just sitting there and stewing and saying, oh, this sucks, I'm never going to skate them again. It's like, well, tell us why. Like, You know, we've thought of everything, but that doesn't mean we made all of the right decisions, you know?
Yeah. So I don't think that you made any wrong decisions so far. I like the reasonings that you have behind what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I can't argue against any of them. Why would I? But I think that you have people like me that are just like, oh, I want to make the skates mine.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know that there's an easy way for me to change that line
mm-hmm.
on the bottom of the skate. I had no idea, mostly because I didn't watch Gear Talk tonight, I promise. So,
it makes the show so much easier or more interesting that you haven't seen this.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about my dumb questions that I throw out there too.
No, so these are great. These are great questions. I get
no. Not I mean, on Gear Talk.
Oh yes, that's true.
I throw out some stupid questions.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have seen them anyway. I was too busy talking.
True. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to sprinkle them in throughout the show.
Fair.
I like the backslide a lot, and I'm really mm-hmm. glad that that's
yeah
that way because I mean I like that shape of backslide.
Yep.
The only thing that I really have any concern with at this point mm-hmm. is, and I don't know, like I wasn't privy to all the changes that were made and dimensions that were changed and stuff like that. So I had a little bit of tightness, like in the top of my foot,
mm-hmm.
like where my arch was, but I chalked that up to either like an early sample liner
mm-hmm.
That might have maybe not the perfect foams or something like that, or something that could easily be dealt with heat molding or with a different liner.
Mm-hmm.
So did any of that change, like the dimensions of the, not quite the toe box, but like the lacing arch area? Box?
Is it the lacing above your foot or was it below your foot?
It was, you know that like, if you... You don't happen to own a pair of Hey Dudes, do you?
I don't even know what that is.
All right, that means no. So, like, if you're looking at your sneakers
mm-hmm.
and, like, the part where the arch of your foot starts, where I have that stupid bunion,
mm-hmm.
if you follow that up to the top of your arch and then go all the way across to the other side of your foot,
mm-hmm.
like, that tends to be a part that can be tight for me.
Hmm.
And I felt a little bit when I tried them on. But I didn't think that it would be an issue with the Them Intuition liners that I use.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that's probably going to be okay. And your liner is called the Comfort Liner.
Yeah.
Which tells me that there's a lot of foams in it.
Yeah. So,
okay. I'll be fine then.
I think you'll be fine. Feet are weird. It's been really difficult for us to help people understand how these things will fit.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, I'm 28.5 centimeter. I can tell somebody who is 28.5 centimeter that they're going to fit like me, but their foot is going to be dramatically different. It could be a little bit wider. It could be a little taller. They could have measured differently. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. The few things about the shells that you tried versus the final shells. The shock absorber that was in the initial one, I think, was just an incline shock absorber. I think it was just a MyFit or a Civica shock absorber.
Okay.
It's not nothing crazy. It was 10 millimeters at the top, and then it went all the way down to nothing. Our shock absorber is 10 millimeters at the top, but it's also flat for like 50 millimeters, and then it's a ramp down. So it would be kind of like a... if you were thinking of a fly box, you know, the there's the transition side and then there's the flat and then there's the down, like the down ramp. It's just the down ramp and the flat. So we don't have the quarter pipe, like fly box side of the ramp. Does that make any sense?
It does. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what our shock absorber looks like. It fits in the back. It should give you a nice, you know, heel lift, a little bit of a comfort to your heels. But the beauty of the flat sole boot is you could do whatever you want with that. You could find that you don't like those shock absorbers and you could swap out something that's you know, like the MyFit ones or the Civica ones where it's just a ramp. You could put in the SL ones or the, like the Shift ones or the Aeon ones that are a lot thicker and maybe a little more padded. You could do whatever you want in there. It's just an open, like, cavity, right, for your foot to fit in.
Yeah.
The top area is thinner around the lacing, which means that your foot can move up a little bit into it. And, you know, it all depends on the liner that you're using. But your foot can move up into that area a little bit more. The 3D printed samples had no flex whatsoever. So these have a little bit more flex. They're not the flexiest skates. You know, they're not going to be like, you know, Majestic 12s or 909s or whatever. They are firm. Like, they're supportive. You'll get flex, but it is not the most, like, it's not designed for just aggressive topsides, you know? Like, it's designed for all-around skating. Between all of those and then using your own liner, I think you'll have a really fine fit, but you've got... Our job, I think, as a skate company is to make a shell with an internal cavity for your foot that has enough room in the right places that you that most people can fit their feet in there. We provide shock absorbers and liners that make most people comfortable, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to want it that way. And that, to your earlier point, is why selling shell only is such an important, like, step for our industry, because there are so many people out there who already know what they need, and now we're just giving them an option. As with a shell only, we're giving them an option to try out a skate as easily as they would try out a new frame or a new set of wheels.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. You know, there's not a lot of other people that do that. Not a lot of manufacturers. Shops will do it. You know, Roller Warehouse advertises that they do that.
Right.
But, you know, it's refreshing to see that, to see so many options. But, I mean, that's also kind of your MO. Like, you always have options for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, with your stuff. You have ready to roll skates, or not skates, excuse me, frames. You have them set up anti-rocker. You have them set up, you know, flat. You know, there's, it's very on brand for you.
I mean, it was a numbers game, really. I looked at the, you know, I talked to shops and they said, you know, if you want to sell a skate, you need to be under $300. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's our target. And we knew this a year ago. And we were like, how do we get a complete skate under $300? Like, where can we cut costs? Because, you know, if I had my druthers, we would just, you know, it would be a minimum of $400, right? Yeah. First was anti-rocker wheels. You know, if we buy a mold, mold's going to be, you know, a few thousand dollars. It's going to suck. But that's going to be, you know, a dollar or whatever. Like, the anti-rocker wheels are nothing. It's like leftover plastic from the frames. You know, it's so, so cheap. It really doesn't factor into anything. So now I don't have to worry about 8 wheels. I just have to worry about 4 wheels.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, already, you know, a lot of money that I could spend or that I could save on this skate. Doing a good liner, making sure that I charge a fair price for the liner, and making sure that shops, when they do boot only, they don't knock the price off by $20. They knock the price off by $80. $80 is a fair price for a frame with good quality wheels and bearings. We'll sell those frames for $100 aftermarket if a shop ends up with a boot only and then can't sell the complete and just has leftover frames. But by saying that these are worth $100, it means that shops won't sit on them much, which is a weird concept, but it's like, if you make your frames worth $20 because a boot only is $20 less, it makes the frames less valuable.
Yeah. You know, I agree.
because shops have so many of them. And it's like, I don't want that, you know? And I've told shops, like, if you're sitting on product that, you know, you bought completes and you can't sell the frames or whatever, I'll buy them back from you. Like, I don't want you to sit on all of these frames polluting the world with, you know, cheap frames, because it just, yeah. it I know as a frame company, it hurts frame companies. You know, when you can buy, like, my frames are $60 or $120. When you can buy a ready-to-roll, you know, OEM frame with a flat setup and AVEC 5 wheels or whatever for, like, $70, that's a hard thing to beat. You know, not only yeah. that, but it hurts wheel companies who, you know, there's not a ton of wheel companies out there, but when you've got, you know, all these wheels out there for, you know, extremely cheap because they came on all these skates and nobody wants them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to sell a quality wheel if there's, you know, a cheap OEM wheel for a quarter of the price.
Yeah, but everyone knows those OEM wheels are garbage. So it's...
That's exactly it. And yeah. and that was my whole thing. Like, let's make sure that we give them quality so that this $300 is actually worth $300.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, and that makes a whole lot more sense, you know, talking about, like, making sure that there's quality shit, you know, for not a huge price. I think that makes a lot of sense, because mm-hmm. you're going to get a lot more happy people that are skating quality wheels, you know, right. on their skates, you know, because everyone just assumes that a stock wheel is going to suck. I mean, unless it's a high-end rollerblade skate that has hydrogen wheels.
Yes.
Or, like, a matter wheel from Power Slide. Like,
right.
I'm straight up assuming it's going to be a shit wheel, and that's the first thing I'm going to replace. Like, I don't think I even got... No, I did. So, when I first got my Aeons, I had those stock USD wheels. I sold mm-hmm. them shits immediately. I wanted nothing to do with them. Mm-hmm. So, I got rid of those. I had my undercovers on them, and it just... I didn't want anything to do with it, but I think those would be a great thing to have for the people that are just like, I don't care, any rocker skaters, essentially. Right, right. There's like, I don't care, I just want to skate. It doesn't matter. I want right. to skate up to a ledge, I want to do my Royale, and I want a 270 out, and that's right. all I need to right. do. So those are great, those generic wheel sales that Roller Warehouse will do every now and then, where they sell a wheel for like $3.
Right.
Like, that's a great deal for those kind of people, but like, so much enjoyment from my actual skating comes from the feel of rolling around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah. And
but I'm perfectly willing to skate your stock wheels because I know it's a right. quality wheel.
Right. You're that market that I was talking about who would buy boot only. You know what you like.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that the people who don't know that OEM wheels are going to be crap are the ones who ride OEM wheels.
Yeah.
And then they're the ones who are like, oh, this, you know, insert name of brand here sucks because the wheels fell apart. They don't know the wheels separately from the brand. Like, the brand represents the entire skate. Yeah. I've heard from way too many people. Like, I heard from a guy who, you know, DM'd Frankie because the first God's wheels fell apart on him over like two sessions. And it's like,
you kind of expect that, man. What
can
you
do? Yeah, what can you do about that? Well, yeah. And that's what I want to change. Like, I don't think that they need to, like, I would rather spend more money on quality wheels. And then end of the day, like, standard is a great skate. Like, we make a great skate because everything works. Like, the wheels that you're skating now, they're not going to chunk on you. They're going to last for a few months.
Yeah.
And those are the wheels that come on the skate because, like Rollerblade and Hydrogen, those are quality wheels. And that's, I think, a big differentiator. But anyway, the other thing that you were talking about, the Featherlite 3 skaters who buy OEM wheels, how do you get them, like, what skates do they ride? You know, usually Colts, right?
Yeah, Colts or SLs.
How do you get to that market? Because they're not going to spend more than $200 on a pair of skates.
Yeah, if they can avoid it.
So what do you do? Well, they've already got these shit liners. that they've been skinny for a while, right? These old jugs or whatever. That, oh, I've got these, you know, I've had these liners forever. They work great. Okay, cool. Like, they've got the Senate, like, sinister liners that that they think are still good or whatever. Which is fine. Like, that's cool. And then they've got these Featherlite 3s or, you know, whatever frames that they like. How do you get them to try something new for less than $200? Like, I cannot sell an Omni for less than $200, but I could do shell only for $160 because I don't have to worry about the $100 frame. I don't have to worry about the $60 liner, right? So now I've got a skate that somebody who's looking for a skate for $200 can easily justify. It's like, oh, I can try this. No big deal. It's like a set of frames and, you know, ready to roll set of frames.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, from your first mention, I knew you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
And I knew you're going to take your time and make sure that you put out a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, like, I trust that John Julio isn't going to fuck us over mm-hmm. by putting out a shenanigan, you know, boot. Like, I knew that you were going to do the right thing with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it looks great. Like, I'm really, really excited. I cannot wait to figure out how to get a pink buckle on mine to match my Dustin Thursday walls.
I would argue you just need to put some pink on your base with the white boots.
I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I need more pink.
Laces.
Ooh, good call.
You don't need to. Don't mess with the buckles. The buckles are sacred. The buckles and cuff bolts.
The buckles are sacred.
if you replace the laces, it's not going to make any difference to the sound of your skates.
True.
But if you start tweaking the buckles, like, you know, like, if have you ever replaced a screen or a battery in your iPhone?
No, I've not broken that to that degree.
It's never going to go back together as nice as it.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever tried to put an IKEA thing back into the box and return it?
It's
never going back the right way.
So don't mess with the buckles. Don't mess with the cuffs. Leave the cuffs the way that they are. You've got approved areas that you can customize.
Approved. Okay.
Don't go off. Don't color outside of the lines.
I will adhere to that.
No, I mean, I don't know. We're very opinionated. That doesn't mean that we're right. And we will always listen to feedback. It's important that these skates work for more people, not just for me. I would never switch out my cuff, but that doesn't mean that that's the right decision. So end of the day, we'll continue to listen to people and make the decisions that we need to based on customer feedback. But primarily, the most important thing, we wanted to make sure the skate was quiet. We've got... You know, the comfort liner, the first liners that I was skating actually squeaked a little bit.
Really?
So I was skating the 44s and I was using the RL1s because remember the 44s that I got had a 42 liner in it.
Okay.
And it didn't fit. And I couldn't fit into the 42 liners. So I put the RL1s in and it was fine. I fit fine. So... while I was waiting for the second sample, I was skating with the RL1s and they were great. You know, I was skating fine. I was feeling good. And then I got the actual liners and they felt amazing. Like, our comfort liners are really good. It's heat moldable. It's got a neoprene toe. It's got padding around the ankles, but it's really thin around the lacing area and the base of your foot. So it's really, for me, what I love in a liner. I'm not a big performance liner. I'm more of a comfort liner.
Okay.
I took those samples out to the skate park and I was skating as normal and they started squeaking. And I was like, what the hell? Like, these were completely silent skates. What changed? And it was the heel lift pad that we put on the liner. The heel lift pad was squeaking in the boot. So when my foot would lift a little bit, you would hear a little bit of a squeak. So we changed that material to something that would still do the job, but it wouldn't squeak. It's more of a leathery thing versus a tacky thing. And little things like that, like we've done what we need to make this skate as quiet as can be. We added a shock pad to the sole plate, not for like shock resistance, because I don't think that it really works that much, especially on a flat boot with a shock absorber. Like the heel is going to do the shock absorption, but it keeps it from plastic to plastic rubbing. And that can also create a squeak and a little clacking area. It's going to be nice. A really quiet sound. I mean, I skated them again. I skated them today. When that video should be out tomorrow. We're recording this on Saturday. When that video's out, listen to it. Don't just watch it. And hear what it sounds like when I come off grinds. Hear what it sounds like. It's very similar to like the Adapt sound, which, remember, Adapt doesn't have anything plastic. Yeah. You know, the sole plate goes straight onto the boot, which is wrapped in a material and then a carbon base. And their buckles are all Velcro. So it's like there is nothing plastic. There's nothing to make sound. Those skates were super quiet. And I feel like ours are just as quiet, but they're plastic. Nice.
Do you think Peter's going to say he came up with the quiet skate idea first?
No, but he did it right. I mean, I give Peter a lot of credit. Our mounting system, although I didn't model it after Peter's, is very similar to what they did. It's wider. It's not compatible. And it uses different materials and different thicknesses. And I feel like our mounting bolts, the way that they make theirs, I'm not a huge fan of. I think that ours is a better design. But the basic concept definitely was an Adapt thing. And I didn't know that when we were designing it. But it's important to give credit where credit is due. He's a smart dude, man. I mean, again, I think he knows what he's doing with skate design.
Yeah, can't fault him for that. I just wish his skates were cheaper and yeah. Doesn't really matter. So, what about who did you have help design some of this stuff? Was it just you, or did you have like maybe Justin help, or maybe Mark Sandell?
No, I kept I haven't even talked to Mark actually. I think even when we launched, Mark saw the news but couldn't find any pictures, and that was at Bittercold. And I remember Mark, he's going to hate that I say this, but I remember Mark saying, I've searched all over the internet and I can't find any mentions of it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, if you do a search for standard Bittercold, you'll find 3 videos and a bunch of photos. And he sends me a link to like DuckDuckGo. And I'm like, dude, use a real search engine. Like, what are you even doing over here? So I sent him the same query, but on Google, and it's like the full front page has like, because remember Dave at Wheel Scene did that whole video about it, and like it was like a 20-minute video of all of the pictures and speculation, and then like Brandon had his thing, and there was a bunch of posts and everything.
Duck, duck, anyway, come on, Mark.
I mean, he's all about his privacy. He's all about that thing. So it's a good search engine for that. But it definitely doesn't have, like, the latest and greatest from YouTube or Instagram or anything like that. Because I don't think that company can afford those contracts with those data sources to get them. Anyway, no, I didn't involve Mark. And I actually didn't involve Justin. I knew Justin was really busy. He just started that job. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this by myself. I think we can do this. I did get a lot of help from Stefan. He's been my like art director, design director, like, you know, all that stuff for Fitty Fitty for, he did the logo for Compass. He did, you know, a ton of stuff for Chroma. So he was kind of an obvious choice to ask for marketing direction and design direction for standard. And he's done, most of the heavy lifting for the visuals and things like that. I've helped where I can, but I'm like way out of, like, I know where I'm good and I know that this needed to be great. And he is great. Like, I don't think there's a better marketed brand, especially for this year. like a cohesive look and feel than the stuff that he's done for Standard. It's incredible. But mechanical design and like product design, I mean, it's really just been me working with a factory, of course. Like I send them concepts and they'll, you know, put them into 3D files, or I'll send them 3D files and they'll clean them up, because I'm not a 3D developer, you know. I know how to make stuff, but they're professionals at it. So I would send them files, and like the sole plate, I would get the sole plate like 90% of the way, and they would say, all right, got it. So we would just remake the sole plate using my files, but in their systems. And it's just like, oh, of course, like this is beautiful. They also, when they design things, they design for molds. So they need to design, like, where does the injection happen? Where's the outlet? Like, how does this flow properly? Where does the cavity close? Like, I don't know anything about that stuff. Like, that's way out of where I need to even consider it. So they handle all of that, which is, again, a great reason to work with a factory that knows what they're doing. It might be more expensive than, you know, just trying to do it yourself, but you have less potential of getting things screwed up.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was thinking that maybe you had Justin help with it, because I assume that you saw his new icon frame.
Yeah, which is super interesting.
Super cool.
The fact that they did it is crazy. You know, neither of us really know what to think of Icon. But it seems like they're like, I don't know, it's like a brand that they're just willing to do a lot of experimentation with, you know?
Yeah, actually, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like, and this experimental, like how Blank used to be, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like this...
That Warlock skate.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. The Skunk Works, like garage band style thing where they're trying to do some cool stuff. They've got all of these, they've got access to all of these things, but they're not like necessarily building a brand or a sellable product. It's more like, let's experiment with what's possible. And I mean, nobody's better at that than Justin, right? I mean, he comes out with ideas a minute. That frame, so it's really based on the T60R, which is the frame that he had on the core market for a while, which he still does. But the mold is a little bit lower. It's a flat 60, so it's maximum wheel size of 60, whereas the core frame, you know, using the cores, you've got a maximum wheel of 65. So you've already added, you know, a couple millimeters to the top. And I'm sure he cleaned it up a little bit, added a lot of logos, which is, I don't know. I'm a big fan of very subtle logos, and there's a lot of logos on that thing. Or at least there's a lot of Q logos. I mean, there's just as many Justin Thursday logos, but it's kind of a weird juxtaposition. What's it called?
juxtaposition.
Yeah, exactly. Between having two of those logos and then the Icon logo, and it's just, I feel like it's a little too much. But that's just aesthetically. From a performance perspective, I've only heard great things. They're using a different injection molding material. So it's got like a carbon reinforcement in there, which let them cut down a lot of the materials inside. I'm not sure what the weight difference is. It seems like they could make it a lot lighter, but I'm wondering if that added some weight because the material is different. Like, I don't know these things. I'm also not sure that the weight matters all that much. Like, I don't know, we talk about ride height, we talk about weight a lot. I had a guy who was asking last week if balance two frames were lighter than, what was he asking about? There were some frames that he was skating now, and he's like, I'm trying to get the lightest frames, like what you know, how heavy are these or whatever? And I'm like, oh, you know, they're pretty light and everything. Here's the weight. And he's like, oh, that's not really that much lighter than, you know, whatever I was skating, Featherlights or whatever. And I'm like, well, what boots are you on? He's like, oh, I'm writing blanks. And I'm like, oh, well, that's your problem.
Yeah, that's part of your problem. You
know, like, you're looking to optimize the 300 grams of a frame when you've got this, like, 3-pound boot. Like, don't worry about the frame. Like, you need to figure out the problem here. Like, you know, like, you go to marriage counseling, and it's like, well, that, there's bigger problems than just taking out the trash. You know, it's not that you, you know. Anyway,
that's funny. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe it's trying to save 300 grams. I don't know. That just seems silly. Like, I think more of where the weight is what's important. Like, true. I think you can get away with a 3.5-pound skate if the weight is in a good place.
Sure.
Which is why I think the Fifth Elements were kind of weird to begin with, you know, before they did the UFS update. Because it had so much weight under your feet, essentially.
Yeah.
Which I would assume. So, oddly enough, whenever I would see old videos or old clips of Jaron Grobe doing crazy spins, I'm like, you know what? I wonder how much those frames actually helped him do that.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, that gave him, like, something that he could, you know, torque off of and stuff like that easier. I wonder if that helped him at all.
Yeah. It's a good question.
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that the weight of a skate doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, as someone who skated Argons a lot, it doesn't really matter. I could still jump on high shit just like all the guys that, you know, in town that skated K2s, you know.
Argons weren't as heavy as people give them shit over, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they don't weigh that much different than fully set up shadows.
No, they're not that much heavier. I think we remember them as being heavy, but I actually had that. I measured them when I had the Oxygens, and they were 5 pounds for each Oxygen.
Not light.
No, they're not light at all. The the Rollerblade 0.8s that I had were 5.25 pounds.
Yeah.
So they were a heavier skate. Rollerblade is just a heavy brand. I don't know why, but I mean, looking at this, the 0.8s being heavy, the New Jacks were very heavy. The blanks are heavy. Like, I don't know what material they're using, but it's definitely a heavy skate.
Yeah. I mean, if it works for them, if they can get good deals on it, so be it. You know, it's still something that's going to skate well.
It might be a reliability thing, too. I don't know. I would argue that, you know, a lighter skate is better. I want to feel like I'm just putting wheels on my feet, not that I'm putting this lead boot around my foot. When I was skating REMS, you could definitely feel like it was just this thing that was on my foot. And it's like, how do I move this? How do I make this work? I think you'd be really shocked when you hold the Omni. It is as light as a Majestic 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. It's crazy how light it is. And there's a few reasons for that. You know, a flat sole boot has less material. Mm-hmm. The material that we're using is a lot lightweight. And the frames are designed really well. With a smart material, we could shave down a little bit more weight if we wanted to. The sole plate is actually heavier than it needs to be because it's thick. And it's thick because I wanted to make sure that they lasted for a while. Like, there's nothing worse than having a thin sole plate that you wear through really quickly.
Yeah.
These are not thin sole plates, but we do have wheel recesses, like up into the middle. And it will fit wish frames, you know, out the box. Nice. So we've got enough to allow for the way that frames need to be. With compass frames, you can ride 72 millimeter frames with 80 millimeter wheels.
Nice.
So it goes up into the frame for 4 millimeters. And it will give you a lower ride height, but it's still a slightly taller, like the sole plate is a little bit taller. I don't mind it. It adds a little bit of weight and a little bit of height. But end of the day, like, we're in that low weight range. And I think, you know, when you skate them, you skate the FRs. So the FRs, the UFRs are very light as well. So I think, you know, I didn't measure my UFRs. But there are heavy skates on the market. I skate so many skates. Jumping between one of the heavy skates and one of the lighter skates, it's a noticeable difference. Like, it feels like they're just, I don't know. Like, you get used to walking, and you know what walking feels like with your shoes. This, like, if you have a heavy skate, it feels like, you know,
it's trudging.
Something else. Yeah, it really does.
That does make sense. I mean, I can't argue against that. I would just say that, like, people put so much importance on the weight of a skate, and I think they put too much into it.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that it's not important. That's not what I'm trying to say. I think it is.
No, it's fair.
I think it's more important when you are a beginner or you're very light.
Mm-hmm.
like a very dainty individual.
Yeah.
I think they would have more difficulty with a heavier skate than I would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a not dainty individual.
Yeah, I mean, Haffy had no problem with rims. Rob Kellett, you know, skating rims, no problem. It's not one of those, I don't know, it clearly didn't impact their abilities.
Yeah, for sure.
But there is a difference between they could still do amazing stuff and it was a good skate. You know, like, you could definitely, like, you get Nick Lomax on a 3x110 and he could do some killer Savannahs on rails, but that doesn't mean that that's a good skate for that setup.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've talked about that many times.
We
don't have to rehash that.
No,
we all know my feelings.
Yes.
Which, by the way, after I mentioned that to you and Joey,
mm-hmm.
what's the next thing I see on their fucking Instagram story?
Oh, no.
is like Joey scratched up frames from doing souls on what frame?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. On the rollerblade fusions or no? What are they called?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, one of those rollerblade skates. I can't remember what it's called.
And like, I'm just looking at him like,
what are you doing, dude?
I was like, we just talked about this son of a bitch.
And he's all about the Rossi's, what are they, the 1992s? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, yeah. I don't necessarily have as much of a problem with that because because that's what we had to do back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, in 1992.
Yeah, so it feels 30
years.
So it feels nostalgic that way. But when you're doing a Royale and a Kink Rail with 4x110s, it's like, come on, man.
I think that's
just being an asshole.
That's yeah. Get yourself some riveted frames and let's see you.
And some grind plates.
Yeah, exactly, grind plates.
Oh, man. Fucking Joey. That guy's so funny. So I heard something the other day that immediately made me think of Todd.
Hmm.
Because, like, some of Todd's affectations when he speaks,
uh-huh.
I could hear from this person. And then I realized, I was like, I think I know where this person's from or, like, what part of Canada they're from based on the fact, like, there was something that they would say they would trail off as they would say specific sounds at the end of words.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, that's something Todd says all the fucking time. And so I was just like, oh, that guy's probably from whatever part of Canada they're in.
Yeah.
What are they at? The West Coast?
Yeah, West Coast.
Yeah, over there.
That's interesting.
But it was interesting to think of Todd and Joey in a not skating way.
Mm-hmm.
Just randomly.
I haven't heard Todd's voice in a while. Actually, we had a call last month, which was nice. We you know, obviously talk about mushroom blading and, you know, what the future of that products are and stuff like that. So I talk to him every now and then. I mostly talk to Joey on text. But I haven't seen a lot of, like, Joey is usually, I'm still a Patreon supporter, and Joey's usually the Patreon guy. I haven't seen a lot of Todd talking. I miss
those. That's
a
shame.
Yeah. More podcasts. I was telling those guys, what I really miss are the video commentaries. when they sit back and they have a drink and they watch like Coup d'etat or, you know, whatever. Like, I want to see that. I love those. Those videos. Are fun. Those are fun just watch the video with my two Canadian friends and let them talk about pants and, you know, like, it just seems like so true.
Pants and spot
like,
selection.
Yeah, it's just pure, like, you know, what they're really excited about. Like, you get that whole vibe in, you know, a really nice package with some videos that you get to watch, you know?
Yeah, those were absolutely fun. I really enjoyed every one of those that I got to see.
Yeah.
We should do one of those sometime. When I come down to visit, we should do that.
I need you down here. Yeah, that's more of an in-person thing. I'd be more than happy to sit and do a commentary. I tried to do it by myself, and it just got really boring.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like you at least need two people to bounce, you know, to feed off each other's energies, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, while you're doing that. Yeah, you don't want to, because I just end up watching the video, and I'm talking about it, and I'm like, ooh, that was cool. Oh, that was just like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's just not interesting, you know? I was thinking about doing like impactful videos for me and then like pausing things and rewinding and going through why this trick was impactful, but it was like, it wasn't very entertaining. Like I did a quick, you know, demo of it just to see if there was something there, and there was nothing there. Like it just sucked. I'm like, oh, gotcha. I don't know. I got to do something fun. But yeah, I think having a second person would be great. You know, Todd and Joey do it the best. But yeah, if you're ever in town, when are you coming to town? What's the plan here?
I don't know. We should nail it down.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So then I can bring that to the wife and she's like, oh, okay. Because just saying I want to go down there doesn't really say much to her. So
yeah. So the big events, we're going to have Crowder Cup again in spring. I don't know the exact dates, but it was March, I think, of last year. I don't know if you're feeling an event, but this is a really good opportunity to see everybody. I think all the Slack crew is going to come out again. So you'll be able to see, you know, Clark and Sam and Jeremy and, you know, Jeff and everybody will come out and hang. Skates are here in November. So that would be a good time too, right?
Yeah, true.
Just to come down and hang for a little bit, pick up your skates, and then, you know, whatever.
Put some together with you.
Yeah, exactly. I could use the help. We're having a movie night in October we're going to watch Brink. So we're going to invite everybody over. We're going to have a session at 5, inside and outside, weather permitting. And then we'll do the video at 7. So we're going to close down the mini ramp and have everybody have a seat and watch the video, which is going to be kind of fun. We've never done a big video like that. We've done a few video premieres, but we've never done a big video like that. I think it'll be really fun. And we're inviting roller skaters over. It was actually their idea. They came by to my last open house and skated the mini. And they were like, would you ever be open to us, you know, doing video premieres or something here? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Like, you know, I don't want skateboarders because, you know, if they lose their board, it could be a problem in an indoor mini ramp. But roller skaters, like, why not? You know, we've had roller skaters there before. Like, it's no big deal. Like, it would be fine. So they organized it and then, you know, put it together with Chris Crowder. So he was representing the inline and then they were representing the roller skating side. So we'll see what the event is like, but that's the end of October. So that's another good time. Depends on how quickly you want to get down here. But yeah, I think spring would be amazing. There's going to be a lot of people here. It's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, we should have hopefully the second standard launch by then, which will be really good timing.
Yeah, we'll make something happen. I want to try to come down for when the skates land and try to help out maybe for the weekend.
Well, that would be awesome.
Do you know a date yet?
So they're saying November, which means, you know, production, assuming that everything works smoothly. The nice thing is that they know that I'm up against a time crunch. Okay. And they're like, we're going to do everything we can to escalate. Because it's not like it's my first order. You know, it's my first skate order. But I've done, I mean, I don't know how many sets of frames with them before. They know that I'm a good customer. Yeah. So they're doing everything that they can to make this smooth as possible. I've already put in the initial order. And they're on holiday, I think, this week. But they get back on Monday. They're going to start production. So what that just means is they're going to order all of the materials and get everything lined up so they can start flying through it. I think it'll be done end of October, okay, which means 3 weeks to get to me on, you know, a boat. So hopefully end of November. The catch is it could take longer. Like, yeah, you'd never know how long production is going to take. What I will say is, as soon as I have skates on a boat, I'll know how long it's going to be. Because I know how long that, like, you can track that vessel. And you know how long it's going to be to get to your dock, your port. And then it usually takes, you know, a week and a half or so from that port to get to the warehouse. So that would be the timing. It would probably be pretty fluid, to be honest, but yeah, at least there could be a window of when they would show up.
Okay, yeah, I'll float that by the wife and see, yeah, if we can make that happen. Because yeah, I'd love to do that. It'd be cheaper for me to go down there than to fly to Colorado or California. Oh wait, we're going to Disneyland in November.
Oh no way!
Yeah,
all but the way California Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, early November though.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, it won't be early November. I can't see that happening. We'll have some skates because we'll get them air shipped, you know, for final, you know, team and everything like that. But the actual production will be late November.
Okay. So when is Stefan getting his signature skate? Because I can honestly say
that I don't know.
Okay. So I couldn't help but notice, but your team page is still kind of empty.
It is. And the reason for that, you know, I won't get into the people on the list, but I will say that none of them fit the skates that I have. So I'm not a big fan of doing team edits when people are skating products
that aren't being piloted.
Theirs, right. What's the point?
Makes sense. You know? Yeah.
Like, there's no rush to announce a team if they're not going to be able to promote, like, selfishly, they're not going to be able to promote the brand.
Yeah.
You know? So we're waiting for the skates. So the molds are done. All the molds are done. Every mold is done. They're doing the testing now. So they're doing, you know, what's called T1, which is like the technical sample, I think. So okay, they do the first tests, and those are the skates that we should have next week. Those are the ones that people will be able to skate. And okay, then we'll start seeing, like, they'll probably get used to the skates, and then, you know, they'll sign off on it. They'll add the textures, the final textures, and then they'll get the final, and then they'll be able to do the mold or the injection molding, and then production's done. Like the assembly, and then production's done. The liners, yes, you know, because there's so many things. Like, the frames aren't changing, so they can start production on the frames early. Wheels, we can already get the production start on the wheels. Liners, already get production start on the liners. It's just the injection molding of the last final parts, which is the boots and the sole plates and the cuffs. So that is, I don't know how long that takes, but that is that last lap. But they can do all of the other production ahead of that, and that's what they're planning on doing.
Nice. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm just excited. I can't wait.
Me too. I'm after skating them today, I'm so much more, like, relieved, I guess, because, like, I've skated these samples for months. And they feel amazing on my feet, but they're also like months old skates. Getting the final samples that actually have the textures on, that are actual, like, the final liners and everything. I haven't skated them, you know, because I had to keep them pristine so that I could do gear talk, so that I could, you know, do Justin's show, so I could do Ken's show. And then I could do my first impressions video, and I needed them pristine for that because there's B-roll in the video, and there's, like, the dangle and showing them off and everything. Like, I need these skates to look good. And I didn't know that they were going to skate good. Like, I just didn't know, you know? Like, would the texture have changed anything? Would the tweaks to the liner change anything? And I don't know. So the relief that I had this morning when I was skating them and I was able to do everything was like, all right, like, we're in good shape. Like, I think this is going to be, especially for the first release, I think this is going to be an extremely solid release. We'll only get better from here. Like, the skates are good. They're going to be so much better as we start getting feedback from all of the skaters. Refine the materials, refine the flex, little things like that. Really dial everything in. I cannot wait.
Same.